Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
All right, we are now joined by tonight's third-place finisher in the South Point 400, Denny Hamlin, driver of the number 11 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota. We are going to go right to questions to our media for Denny. So if you have a question, please raise your hand and we'll get right to you. We'll kick it off with Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Denny, how did the choose rule kind of change the dynamic of the race, and did you feel like being able to choose their late gave you best opportunity to win?
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I mean, maybe I would have been fourth instead of sixth without it, but I mean, that's just one instance. I think overall it's been a good change and at least lets you, decide, try to make an educated decision when you get to choose. So I definitely like it.
And were you distracted at all the last few weeks over trying to get the team deal done, and the fact that it was done, did that relieve any sort of pressure or mindset tonight?
No, I mean, I've been working for like 10 weeks on stuff. So not just race team stuff, but just stuff in general. So it doesn't, we've had bad breaks. Tonight was just another bad break, just like Darlington was, to be honest with you. Or Bristol. So we were, we led laps tonight. We were obviously the best car. But people look at the results instead of actually paying attention to the race.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Next up, we'll go to Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
Thank you. Denny, before that last restart on the choose situation, you took obviously the outside of row three. You could have taken the inside of row two. It seemed like, I know that a lot of people preferred the outside lane, but there was a lot of movement on the inside lane. What was the decision making on that and the challenge in going back and forth, or was that an easy call for you?
It wasn't an easy call. We talked about it. I wasn't sure, they left it up to me ultimately. But I thought I didn't want to box myself in on the bottom. On the previous restart, I'd got on the bottom and just, we were fast through the corners, but everyone that couldn't run the bottom was just freight training us down the straightaway on the top. So I just thought that at least if I got the top, I have an option to go to the third lane. If I get on the bottom, I'm just boxed in. I think I have no shot to win. So I think it was going to be a lot to ask for us to win from either the third or the sixth position on a green-white checkered anyway. I thought we were going to have more time, being that I think the caution fell with like six or seven laps to go, and we ended up in a green white checkered for a debris situation.
You also on the radio after the race talking with Chris, kind of question or I guess kind of asking questions about the pit procedure and pitting during that before that green the pit side the caution that during that middle of that green flag cyclone when you can. I guess what was kind of the concern with going in at that point and kind of get a better understanding of that, or still frustrated as you leave Vegas?
I mean, I called it before it even happened. We go into the last stage, and he mentions to me on the radio that the strategy will be similar to what it would be in stage two, and I just knew that we've been caught, I don't know how many times this year, by people that just stay out, because they're having a subpar day. I mean, they're doing the best strategy for them, but it traps the guys that are up front all day. So, we just got caught again. Told them that we were going to get caught if we came early, but our hand got forced by the 88, by them coming in early there. We both had a lead over most of the field, so I would have thought we would have ran a little bit longer, but we had to answer their strategy because they were then 1 second of us. So we didn't want to just kind of give them the lead and then count on running them down at the end of the race. You have to keep yourself in front of them. And essentially, we were going to stay out as long as the 88 was. So they forced our hand there. They didn't make us pit. We decided to pit, but it's a lap too late again.
Thank you.
Yep.
Next up, we'll go to Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead, Jordan.
Denny, 58 points going to Talladega. How are you feeling about that?
You know, if you asked me before the day, I would have definitely been happy about it. But, you know, I just hate missing out on victories, to be honest. And, you know, we're so much better than the six victories that we've got. You know, it's just disturbing. I've never been this fast in so many races and just not finishing it like I feel like we should. But we're up front. I mean, that's what counts, and that's what's going to get you to Phoenix, is you keep, you know, getting stage wins and you keep battling for race wins. You'll get yourself to Phoenix, and hopefully you get a championship out of it. So that's what we're all here for, and you know, that's what I'm trying to do.
That kind of advantage going into Talladega, 58 points, what does that do for you guys in terms of strategy? Are you guys going there looking just to earn points, trying to be aggressive, run up the front? What are you guys thinking?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what we need to do. I think realistically, I don't know, just offhand, we probably need to gain about 25, 30 points over the next 2 weeks total, and I think we'll be in a good position. But you just never know. I mean, you know, my teammate looks like he's out of the cut. He can win either one of those races easily. So you just never know. You want to go out there, and I wish we would have locked ourselves in tonight. But, you know, we still put ourselves in a really good points position going into Dega. So I don't know what our strategy will be. To answer your question, we'll discuss it tomorrow.
Thanks.
All right, next up we'll go to Jerry Jordan. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, Danny. You mentioned Talladega. You've also got the Roval coming up. So which one do you worry about more, Dega or the Roval?
I'll let you know after Dega. I don't know. You know, I would say off of, you know, normal racing conditions, I'd say that we're stronger at Dega. But, I mean, you never know. You can finish dead last there or you can win the race. Roval has statistically not been a good track, but neither was Vegas. I think we're showing that we're capable of winning each and every week. Daytona Road Course was one where we nearly won. So I just, you know, I don't think we have any weaknesses at this point. We treat them all the same.
Follow up real quick on the news earlier this week with your buddy Michael Jordan and announcing Bubba. You said Bubba was your driver. You knew that. How big is this for the Denny Hamlin brand to team with Michael Jordan on a Cup car? I know y'all have the iRacing and stuff, and to bring Bubba into that fold with everything that's going on in the sport, and to see this sea change of effort, you know, for NASCAR's progress.
Well, I think that he's outperformed his equipment. He's in the, I think, this third or fourth year in the Cup Series. Still got a lot to learn. I think that, but he's proven himself to me out on the racetrack as someone that overachieves a lot. So I think that, you know, hopefully we can get him, you know, race winning equipment. If we can do that, you know, maybe I can help mentor here and there. But ultimately, he's going to grow as a driver, and he's going to continue to get better. For us, it's going to take time to build this team to where it needs to be. I think that we have a great opportunity, and we'll have great resources to do that. But you know, these things don't happen overnight. It takes time. You know, the good news is I've kind of watched how Joe and his kids have you know, built JGR over the last 15 years, and you've got someone there that you can really kind of model yourself after.
Thank you.
All right, Denny, appreciate the time. Congrats on the good run today, and best of luck next week, okay?
All right, thank you all.
We are now joined by our second place finisher in today's South Point 400 at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, driver of the number 21, Wood Brothers Racing Ford, Matt DiBenedetto. As a reminder, if you have any questions, please press on the participants tab and raise your hand. Roll right into questions. We'll start with Dustin Albino. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, Matt, with the way the last couple months have gone, how much did you need this tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it was big, much needed for our team for sure. So I'm proud of the effort and the team. This shows, I mean, the strength that we've had, and it was and this thing's bugging me, so there's nobody around. We'll be right for a second. Yeah, it was you know, we've had the speed and the strength as a team. So it was tough to have a rough first round of the playoffs, because I knew, you know, that we have the speed as a team to really contend for it and contend for wins. And we showed it tonight, and we have a lot of really strong tracks coming up, but we have a lot to race for, you know, for the rest of the season, a lot of positions and points. And, you know, tonight was just an example of what, you know, we've had some frustrating luck recently, and not all luck, you know, just had a couple of races that weren't, you know, good ones for us, where we missed it a little bit with the no practice and such that we're having to, you know, work around in 2020. But then, yeah, tonight, you know, was a great, and we had rough luck at Bristol. We cut a tire down at the end when we had rebounded from three laps down, and, you know, so it just, we got on a little streak of just some rougher luck, but we, this, you know, tonight's just one example of the speed and strength that we have as a team. And, you know, with Menards, Duracell, all these folks.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Dustin.
All right, next up, we'll go to Jerry Jordan. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, Matt, good run tonight. Yep, you're running there. You're not known to be a rough driver or anything like that, but, and Kurt said he played some of his strengths to your weaknesses. What was it like in those restarts? And just take us through those runs there, and then I have one follow-up.
Yeah, you know, once we lost control, when we had the lead and we chose the outside, and we lost control of the lead, he got a good push, you know, and it got him the lead. I was like, oh, man, and that was tough, because I knew the remaining restarts he had a really big advantage on us as far as, you know, our differences in gear ratios. And he knew, I mean, Kurt's a smart guy, he's a veteran, and I knew that he was going to, you know, play his strengths to his advantage and, you know, do the right things on the restarts to maximize his deal. So that hurt us, and it made it tough for the rest of the race. I know my teammate Ryan Blaney tried to push me on that last one, so I appreciate that a lot. But just and I thought we had a car that if it was out in clean air, you know, we definitely could have you know, won the thing. But I'm just proud that we had a shot at it.
And Menards 21 up there for the Wood Brothers tonight, running up front. You know, obviously not gonna, you know, no win, but what about what it means for you for your next year? We heard a little bit about this going into the race on TV. How does this help you, you know, get signed on the dotted line?
Yeah, you know, I think all good runs are great, and this year's been quite crazy, but we know we have a lot of strength as a team and a lot to continue to improve on and build on. I keep saying it, I feel like we've just barely scratched the surface. We're just barely getting started. So we have I know we can win races and contend, you know, for sure. So as far as this, to answer your question, though, in my situation, you know, I think 2020 has delayed a lot of things that would have been, you know, figured out and set in stone for next year, for 2021, a lot sooner. You know, 2020 has thrown a lot of variables in. So I think there's just a lot of moving parts. I don't know. I'm just kind of speculating, but I'll find out this week, this coming week. But I think it's just a lot of logistics. I feel like, you know, the Wood Brothers are an amazing family, and you can tell they ooze, you know, confidence in me. And that's such an amazing feeling. And same with Team Penske, you know, our alliance with them. I can feel that everyone has confidence in me and our team and knows, you know, we're only going to continue to get much better. So I don't feel much on that side. I think more just, you know, a lot of logistics and things that they're really trying to work out to get everything hopefully set for next year, because I want to drive for this team for a long time to come. I love driving for the Woods.
Well, good luck and good run tonight.
Thanks, Jerry.
All right, next up we'll go with Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead, Jordan.
Matt, kind of a follow-up question to that. Have you been told that you'll be back with the team next year? I know you said your option hasn't been picked up, but have you had conversations of saying, we want you back in the car?
You know, I haven't really – basically, we haven't had a lot of conversations. It's been more they know that the deadline is October 1st, and there's a lot of parties involved. You know, I know the Woods love me, and I love driving for them. And, you know, so there's just a lot of people and moving parts involved. So it's not only the Woods, you know, it's our alliance as a team with Team Penske. We're in our, you know, obviously the support that we get from Ford and all, you know, our sponsors and Menards, you know, like we have Motorcraft, Quicklane, and the Menards. As you notice, obviously we had Duracell Menards and Duracell on the car this weekend. We always have a vendor partner on the car, so those are usually typically would be mapped out, you know, pretty far in advance for the following year and things like that. So there's just a lot of moving parts. So I think they're trying to work everything out, and you know, I'll hopefully know my situation for next year. I would hope and expect to be back with the team. I haven't pursued anything else, if that answers your question better. So that's literally everything that I know, and I've tried to be not a pain in the butt and let them try and sort out everything, you know, to the best of their ability, because I know they're really working hard, especially with all the variables and everything that 2020 has presented to them on the business side.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks.
All right. Next up with Jeff from Empire Sports Media. Go ahead, Jeff.
Thanks, Jasmine. Hey, Matt, great run tonight. You know, the number 21 in Ford had two runner-up finishes at Las Vegas this year after you, let's just say, you struggled at Las Vegas coming into this year. So what was the secret at Las Vegas this year?
The credit all goes to my team. So it's the Fast Ford 21 car, you know, to the Wood Brothers, this team, the 21, our Alliance Team Penske, Ford, Roush Yates engines, all that stuff. I was just lucky enough to hop behind the wheel of this thing, and it goes fast. So, not me. I just am, you know, my job's to always take whatever I'm sitting in and make the most of it and drive it as fast as it'll go. And when they'll go as fast as they did tonight, we can contend for the win. And it wasn't, you know, just an easy race. I mean, we had to work on it throughout the race. Craig Irwin, my crew chief, had to make really good, you know, adjustments. And we didn't have to stick any wrenches in the window, so that makes it easy. My pit crew had a lot of, you know, they did a great job keeping us, you know, up toward the front all night. So really it was all those things combined. It just goes to show that this is a true total team sport, and you're nothing without all the guys around you and the equipment you're sitting in.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt. Congratulations.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Next up, we'll go to Kelvin Lapierre with RLC Sports Network. Go ahead, Kelvin.
Thanks, Jasmine. Hey, Matt. We talked a few weeks ago, and then we talked into going into Bristol here and how important the Bristol race was. You got that flat tire at Bristol, kind of set your might back there with a few handful of laps to go. How important was it to come out here after being eliminated last week and have the type of run you had, knowing that the pressure is kind of off now and you can just go out and race without that type of pressure, that you really haven't felt that type of in your career?
I don't think pressure really bothers me much anymore. I've been in so many stressful situations throughout my career that have pretty much groomed me to be prepped for about whatever. So, I was bummed that we did have some rough luck, like you said, and that cut tire at Bristol and things like that, that didn't allow us to make the next round of the playoffs here. But the rest of the season is nights like this, and the rest of the season, and we have great tracks coming up, and we're strong as a team. We contend for wins, or is fun, because we know we just go out there, do the best job we can. We don't have a whole lot of pressure on us. Go out there and try and win races. And also, not only that, I mean, we have a lot of positions and points to be racing for as well throughout the rest of the year. So it's just fun. And driving the 21 car, you really, you know, learn to appreciate every single time you strap into this thing.
And with the remaining races, you and crew chief Greg Irwin, how important is it to keep the momentum going and knowing that a contract extension or a pickup of your option could be coming by Thursday of this week?
Yeah, I mean, you know, good runs are so important all the time. Every time I ever strap in a race car, I promise you, every time, my career in life has taught me, no matter how long I'm in this sport, every time I ever strap in the car, no matter what I'm driving, I'm always driving. I always say I'm always driving for my life, fighting for my career and my life. You got to be. I mean, this sport is, if you don't perform, I mean, you're not going to have a job. You got to always be at the top of your game and performing, and you're racing guys like, obviously like Kurt, who's an incredible driver and a veteran, and you got Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, and, you know, Kevin Harvick, my teammates, you know, Penske folks, all these drivers are incredibly talented and veterans. And so you have to be so good and be at the very top of your game and, you know, put your entire life into this if you want to be successful.
Thanks, Matt. Good luck at Talladega.
Thanks, Kelvin.
All right. Next up, we'll go to Andrew Curlin. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, Matt, I kind of want to go back to the restart. You mentioned that Kurt had an advantage on you in terms of gear ratios. Is that something stylistically that you prefer, having that different setup? And where exactly did he have that advantage on you on the restart?
You know, I think whoever had control of the restart was going to have a little bit of the advantage. So we were set up to restart in second gear. He was set up to restart in first gear. So I knew when we lost control, you know, when he got a good push and gained the lead and we lost control of the rest of the restarts, I was like, oh, man, that's going to be tougher, because he was able to slow the restarts down more. I was able to run them at a little bit of a normal, quicker pace, whatever you want to call it. You know, just both of us doing whatever is the best strength for us. So we were set up a little more. I feel like ours works well for when we're in the pack, or you know, you're trying to make moves. If you're in that particular situation, it just happened to hurt us a little bit. So but it's all right, and that's part of the game, man.
Thanks, Matt, appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, next up we'll go to Chris Knight. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Matt, I was just wondering how much you were looking forward to maybe going to Talladega next week, knowing how well the Wood Brothers are strong there and how well of a gifted plate racer you are.
Yeah, I mean, you always got to work so hard and study so much at the for the plate races. So I'll probably sit down with my spotter, Doug Campbell, this week and go over every bit of information, SMT and video, you know, watch some previous video, all that stuff to prepare. But it's the best case scenario, driving the 21 car, having the fast forwards under us to go there. And not only that, you know, a big thing is having our Penske teammates. You know, Brad, Joey, and Ryan are incredible plate racers, and obviously our, you know, our cars, the Fords, are really fast, and having all the Fords on the racetrack, so great situation. And we'll be aware of everyone else's situations too, but as I said before, it's fun situation. Go out there and we're just trying to win races and have some fun and rack up points.
And Matt, does it bother you at all or concern you at all that you haven't had much talks about 2021 and knowing that deadline is just less than a week away?
You know, I think it would in a lot of situations, but in this one in particular, the relationship myself and the Woods have is incredible. They are, I mean, the best people, and beyond an amazing family. And our alliance with Team Penske is great. Relationship with Ford, all that stuff is good. So, normally, yes, it would be like very, you know, concerning or stressful. I mean, it is stressful being this late into the season, but knowing, I just know the team and everybody so well that there are a lot of moving parts. And I think on the business and logistics side, they're really working hard to get everything ironed out. So I'm giving them much of the benefit of the doubt because of the circumstances that 2020 have presented them. I don't think they intended or wanted to wait all the way down until, you know, the contract deadline. I think 2020 has put them in a tough spot to where they're having to really work on a lot of logistics. I don't know this for a fact. I'm not speaking for the Woods or Team Penske or anybody, because they've been working hard and I haven't really bugged them much. I'm just waiting here. But that's just my speculation personally.
Thanks, Matt, for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, next up we'll go to Dominic. Go ahead, Dominic.
All right, thank you. Matt, as you look at these last six races, besides winning as often as you can, what would you say are some personal goals for you as a driver and for the team as you close out 2020?
Yeah, I think, you know, getting win number 100 is really the goal for finishing out the season. So that's, I mean, we want it so bad, not only me, but our whole team. We want to get win number 100 for the Woods so bad. I want to do it personally. Driving the 21 car, that's something that I would be it's beyond a dream come true. Driving the 21, every time I step foot in it, you never forget. Like, I look at the car, I'm like, man, I'm driving the 21 car. It's so amazing just as a fan of the sport, you know, from being a kid. So, no, that would be the main goal for this season. And to run also, to run consistently and rack up points, because we have a lot to race for. I mean, we're technically racing for up to fifth place in points. So our season is very, very far from over, and a run like tonight was super important.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks.
All right, next up we'll go to Marty. Go ahead, Marty.
Thanks, Jasmine. Matt, Great run tonight, man. You kind of just talked about it with Chris about Talladega. You're usually a contender battling with these wins. I look at last year's race at Dega when you're battling for the win until seven laps to go. And then also you just talked about working with your team, your fellow Team Penske affiliates. How much are you looking forward to contending for a possible win there, and as well working with those guys like Keselowski and Logano to get them in a good spot to be in the round of eight?
Yeah, Talladega's, you know, it's wild. So many variables, and we've, you know, you can either get wiped out or you can have a solid day. But no, the good thing is our Fords and our teammates, we all, you know, seem to work together well. Our cars are fast. So I look forward to going there. But, man, it's a pressure-filled week, I think, leading up to it, because you work so hard as a driver with, you know, me and my spotter. You study, I think, more for these more than any other if you want to be successful. So and actually after Daytona, even though we made the playoffs, I was really disappointed in myself and some of the moves I made or missed. So there's going to be a lot of things like that to go over and study this week. I mean, it'll be many, many, many hours of studying this week, because it's a chess game. It's not normal driving a race car and wheeling it and having the best ability. It's more of a mind game, and also having luck on your side to not get wiped out. You can also do everything perfect and right and then just get wiped out. So hopefully luck's on our side, but you just kind of got to take them with a grain of salt and have a little fun and hope luck's on your side.
Thanks for your time, man, and congratulations on a great run tonight.
Thanks.
Okay, next up we'll go with Sterling. Go ahead, Sterling.
Thank you, Jasmine. Matt, first of all, congrats on the second place run tonight. I know it's not a win, but it's getting close, it seems. With Talladega coming up next week, if a win is not in the cards there is one other race in the round at the Charlotte Roval. Considering your track record on road courses, what's the confidence level going to at least these next two races where a win might be in the cards?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a great, you know, shot at all the remaining tracks for the rest of the year. So I was talking with Kelly Stavis earlier. She was in our all, and we were chatting for a bit. About, you know, she was asking some questions about future races where we think we have a good shot. And yeah, obviously Talladega, our cars are always fast, and I've become a better plate racer. I always need to improve. The Roval, I've loved road racing, so that's you know, always fun, and that one's kind of a wild one typically, so great shot for us. But I mean, we have the mile and a half, so we show we're fast at. So we got Kansas, Texas, we were really fast out, we were running fourth and got wiped out earlier this year. And then Martinsville, we were flying, our car was super fast. Phoenix. So really looking forward to the rest of the year. I think we have some incredible shots to keep on contending up front.
Thanks, Matt. Congrats once again.
Thanks.
All right, next we'll go to Kelvin. Go ahead, Kelvin.
Hey, Matt. Thanks again for taking another question from me. You really haven't been asked about the fans at all, and you missed them here tonight at Vegas, kind of a last-second call by the governor. But you're going to get them back for a majority of the rest of the playoffs. How does that make you feel, knowing that the fans are going to be back when you are such a well-liked driver in the Cup Series, and you give a lot back to the fans as well with your cameos and all that type of stuff?
Yeah, man, excuse me. Yeah, it's been so sad, but also I try and look at the positives of situations, and this year's given us an incredible appreciation for having the fans at the racetrack. I mean, every driver you talk to, I promise you, they're saying the same thing that I am. But yeah, that's been my thing, man. I have a lot of fun just interacting with the fans, or it's fist bumping them, or, you know, hearing them yell, or hearing their stories of, you know, my influence on them. And it's just crazy, because I'm just a regular guy that's lucky to be able to drive race cars for a living. But I genuinely have a good time interacting with the fans. So this year has been, that's been sad. But we also have an incredible appreciation for them when they are at the track. So we miss them really bad. We miss that element. And I even said when I got in the race car before the race, our crew chief, Craig Irwin, leaned in the window. I was strapping in and I was like, man, it's awkwardly quiet here. This is weird. I said that, we were laughing about it before I got in the car. So, yeah, look forward to having some at a lot of the remaining tracks.
Thanks, Matt. Good luck again this weekend.
Thanks.
All right. Do we have any more questions for Matt? All right. Thank you, Matt, and good luck next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We are now joined by tonight's race crew, Matt McCall. We're going to go right to questions here for you, Matt. I know you got to get out of here. So we're going to take our first one from Tom Zalewski. Go ahead, Tom. Tom? All right, we'll go to Dustin Long. Dustin.
Thank you. Matt, this season you guys have, it seems like it a lot of times, gone for the longer runs. Tonight it paid out. I think, you know, you tried it at Darlington, got some stage points in that first stage. It proved helpful. Maybe didn't work as well a little bit later on with the way things went. How much has that been, or why is that as much the strategy, or it seems to be the strategy this season for you guys?
Well, I mean, the second stage, we tried to pit early and it was a disaster. Everything went wrong. So it's like one of those things. Most of the time our long run speed is pretty good. And short pitting, obviously, if you're racing, you know, first or second, it makes a pretty big difference. But, you know, we've been fifth through eighth or ninth or whatever it is at that point in time, at least gives you options later in the race. Obviously, Darlington's a little bit outlier to be able to do what we did there, but just gives you more options if the caution was to come out. And today it was just one of those things. It was the 24 obviously did it in the second stage. It made it really, really good. So I was surprised that they pitted so early, because once we got to the lead, the lap times were within a few tenths of what the fastest you could run on new tires on a green flag stop. So it just made more sense for us to keep running at that point in time. So that was why we sort of stuck to that.
So how early was that again when you're deciding, or is that as much in the back of your mind going into the race, that second stage, you know, that stage you want to run a little bit longer?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it depends on like the, you know, the caution following made that a little bit different there to where it ended up being 70 laps or whatever it was. So, I mean, I think it's all dictated by where you think you are. And we had lost so much track position from the, you know, the end of second stage and then the pit stop. We had a hiccup there. So, I mean, we had lost a ton of track position. We got put in a spot where we felt like our car was fine when we were clean air. We'd catch a group of cars and then it was jumped again. So it just gave us, I guess, almost open the invitation to keep running as well, you know.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right, now we'll go to Tom Zalewski. Go ahead, Tom.
Thank you, Ross. Sorry for the mix-up earlier. Matt, what was it like guiding Kurt through those final restarts? I mean, three of them in the 15-lap window. Are you stressing? Are you having to keep calm? What any adjustments you make? You're thinking about what's going on at that point?
No, I mean he's a veteran, right? And he's a machine when it comes to restarting. And he was on a mission tonight. Once he got a chance to taste clean air, and he knows how good clean air is. I mean, it's just. Obviously, once you get to the lead, you don't want those cautions to fall, but his restarts were on point tonight. I mean, shift points, and obviously must have been really, really good. It looked like we could almost clear before we got to the start-finish line there, so that worked out really well.
Good.
Next up, we'll go to Davey Siegel. Go ahead, Davey.
Hey, Matt, I was just curious that when it was apparent you guys were sitting pretty and that caution came out, were there any flashbacks to Daytona last summer and saying, all right, maybe the racing gods are on my side for a change tonight?
Well, I mean, honestly, the past 3 weeks, you know, at Darlington, the sort of the Carson fell their own spot, Richmond the same way. I mean, not that we've had winning cars, but we've had, you know, easily could run top five at most of them if it plays out. And, like, it's like for one time, I actually – it was a joke today on pit road. I was like, I'm just asking for it to happen one time for us to feel like we're on the good side of it. Today it paid off pretty big. So the ones where they hurt just a little bit for a couple spots are not near as gratifying as this is.
And on a personal level, being able to bring Kurt the victory at his home track after 22 tries in his career, what does that mean to you on a personal level?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty big. I mean, he beats himself up when he comes here and he talks about how bad he is, but he just literally ran wide open for 25 laps. So he was on a mission. I think he doesn't give himself enough credit. He's obviously an amazing race car driver. We're lucky that he's able to critique us every week, because he was already critiquing after the race. So we know we got to work on for the next time. But yeah, it's pretty special, right? I mean, a guy that's from here to be able to get a win here that he's been obviously been chasing for a long time.
Good deal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we'll go to Jerry Jordan. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, Matt. Congratulations to you guys tonight. How much of a relief is it knowing – I mean, I know you're going to prepare and you're going to go out there and race, but how much of a relief is it you don't have to worry about Dega and you don't have to worry about the Roval? You guys are locked in.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, like, you know – Kurt's obviously really good at Talladega, but anything can happen, right? And, you know, Daytona Roval, we were okay. So going to Charlotte Roval, you think you would be all right. But you never know, right? How you have to run the race when you're in a spot that we were such in a deficit to starting the points wise, and then not to get any stage points tonight, it was going to be an uphill challenge for sure. So not that those races don't mean anything. Really, now we're just racing four stage wins and the wins until we get to Kansas.
Do we have any final questions here for Matt? No? All right, Matt, thank you again and congrats.
All right, thanks, appreciate it.
My man. We are now joined by tonight's race winner of the South Point 400 at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, Kurt Busch, driver of the number one Chip Ganassi Racing Chevrolet. And Kurt, congrats. Like I said, I know we're going to have a lot of questions from the media here, so I'm going to kick it to them. If you have a question for Kurt, please raise your hand and we'll get right to you. We'll kick it off with Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Sorry, I wasn't ready for that. That was quick. Congratulations, champ.
Thank you, Lee.
Man, I know how bad you've wanted to win this race. Has it sunk in at all? I mean, the celebration up there, that was memorable. But after getting the Daytona 500, I knew that this was just absolute tops on your list.
This is 20 years of agony and defeat. And now today with triumph, I don't know if I have any more gas left or if I just filled my tank up to go win every race that I'm going to jump in next. This feeling of growing up here and watching the track get built from the desert gravel pit that it was by Richie Klein and his group. And then when Speedway Motorsports came in and bought it, I'm like, man, there's going to be a cup race there. I hope I can, make my way up through legend cars. And just all the memories of everybody, my mom and dad, every Saturday night, all the commitment they gave me and my little brother to make it in racing. You know, for me, it was a hobby. I never knew I'd get this far. And a guy named Craig Q here locally in Las Vegas, the owner of the Star Nurseries here in Las Vegas, took a chance on me and let me run his late model a few times. And we won a couple races and started working our way up. And it takes a village to make somebody cut through and make it. And this is my hometown, and I have so many people to thank. And I just couldn't be more proud. And I know that they're very proud right now, watching on TV, watching on NBC and Sports Network, and seeing their hometown boy win at the hometown track.
I know on normal weekends you would have your friends from Star Nursery. You would have the high school people you grew up with. Is it somewhat bittersweet under the pandemic that it just wasn't – I mean, I don't know. It just seems like, it would have been a little bit different had there been your hometown crowd there to cheer you on.
No, they've pierced my heart right now. My memory of everybody, I know they're thinking of me. And I know they're celebrating. They're enjoying this just as much as I am. And yes, with empty grandstands, that's tough. The governor couldn't help quite make the right call to get fans in the grandstands. But all everything aside, yes, it's a bit empty, but my heart is full. I won at my hometown track after 20 some odd tries.
Congratulations. Enjoy it, man.
Thank you.
Next up, we'll go to Jerry Jordan. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, Kurt. Congrats. And real quick, take us through those final laps, what was going through your head, and the emotion when you were spelling out Las Vegas out there with the checkered flag.
The race unfolded in our favor when we were leading and we were cranking out some great lap times on old tires, and a yellow came out, and I'm like, this is like a huge break. This is like having all your chips in on a roulette number, and it came up one. It came up our number, and we doubled down. We had a good pit stop to hold our track position. We had to battle to Benedetto on some of those restarts. I pulled out a few drag racing tricks on him. I used our strengths against his weaknesses. And at the end, I mean, to again have 20 years of this track kicking my butt, it did the same thing tonight. After lap 200, I'm like, really, again? I'm going to have to battle, maybe to get to 10th. And we had no stage points tonight either. So that yellow was a huge break for us. And again, thank you to everybody in Las Vegas that helped my career get up and go. There's so many people here. Enjoy it tonight with me.
Real quick, one more final. I guess you're riding back with Kyle. Brixton kicked this weekend off. Any pressure on you extra to beat your nephew this weekend? I mean,
I wish I could have been there for it, but I was trying to stay focused on getting my rest and being ready for today's race. And the pressure was there. And honestly, on the plane ride out here, I was telling Samantha, my sister-in-law, that the life's going to change with Victory Lane. I said, how did he feel? What were his emotions? And she said he was vibrating and that he loved it so much and that he could feel that energy of being a winner. And I just sat there on the plane going, my dad helped me. We helped Kyle. Kyle and my dad and myself were helping Brexton. It definitely felt like a generational shift was happening. But maybe not. Maybe not. This old guy still got it going on.
Obviously, you made it to Victory Lane. Congrats.
Thank you.
All right, next up, we'll go to Bob Pockris. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Kurt, I mean, when you're going for the win there, is there anything going in your mind like, man, the difference between first and second, a playoff spot versus being on the bubble?
It was going to be a tough pass for anybody to make. That was our ticket to move forward, to win, to do the job that I need to do. I mean, it's like giving a lion a piece of meat. I had it. I was in position, and nobody was going to take it from me. And I had to execute on those restarts and then change the draft around. And the 11 was definitely going to have a hard time passing us because he had more to lose than we do.
Thank you. Next up, we'll go to Chris Knight. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Kurt, congratulations on the win. I was just wondering if you could talk about how important your spotter Tyler Green was for those crucial restarts and what your relationship's been like with Tyler.
Tyler Green is a great spotter. He's a great kid, and he's a good racer. He races legend cars in his spare time. And he actually has the most experience with the choose rule. And this is my 21st year. I've never done a choose rule before. And so I've just gone off of him 100%. We've been crystal clear. And yes, spotters have to relay information with the restart lanes, with the draft, and where lap times are being produced. But all in all, my crew guys, this Monster Energy Chip Ganassi team, we knew we needed nighttime, and yellow came out at a perfect opportunity, and we had the right setup to be able to hold it wide open at the end to win it.
Thank you, Kurt.
All right, next up we'll go to Stephen Conley with PRN. Go ahead, Stephen.
Kurt, congratulations. Knowing that you're locked into the next round, that's obviously got to be big, take a lot off your mind for the next two races. But kind of looking forward into the round of eight, what does tonight's run do for you and this team, especially with Kansas and Texas back-to-back to start off the next round?
Yeah, it's a mile and a half win. We last won together at Kentucky, a mile and a half. So if you fast forward to Kansas and Texas, it's a mile and a half. And so everything is just pointing in our direction right now. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but we will enjoy this. We will celebrate. We need to grab points at Talladega. We need to grab points at the Roval. You know, we thought we were a top eight team if things went perfectly, but we still need to execute to grab those points in case we're on the short stick and eliminated after the Martinsville round. So all in all, this is a huge breath of fresh air. It's wind in our sails, and it's a lifelong dream of mine to win in my hometown.
And I know the emotions were pretty high when you got out of the car. Just kind of comparison to your other big win, your Daytona win, the emotion level, where were they?
It's right there underneath Daytona, underneath the championship back in 2004. Anytime you win, it's special. But to do it in front of my hometown crowd and nobody was there and all the people that I see every time I come to Vegas and I get to say thank you and I can't right now, that's the hardest part. And so this one's easily ramping up to being my third most favorite win ever. Right now it's my favorite because it's here. It's Vegas. And I have so many people to thank. And They know they helped me, and they know who they are, and it just all started with Mom and Dad taking me to the racetrack right here at the Bullring in Las Vegas.
I appreciate it. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm so very grateful.
Next up, we'll go to Jeff from Empire Sports. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, Kirk. Congratulations on the win. This is such an emotional time, so big congrats. After the race, you mentioned the people who have helped you since Vegas, but you got thanks from two people very close to you in Kyle Busch and Matt Kenseth. What was it like to get the congratulations from Kyle and Matt after you crossed the start-finish line?
I mean, I'm so grateful, but to have friendships.
Good job, man.
Good job, man. Good running with you. To have friendships in this garage, and Matt Kenseth and I go back the furthest out of anybody. And it's great to have him as a teammate right now and somebody that created stability for the 42 car. And to run with him and to share notes, it's the best that we can be right now with no practice and no normal sequences. And then with my little brother, our relationship has blossomed this year with being travel buddies and staying in a family bubble together and respecting the COVID process together. And, you know, just to share stories and get caught up with things that we never talked about before. And to have him be the first one to give me the congratulatory door donut down the back straightaway, I'm just like, it was a flashback of legend car racing when we were growing up as kids together. And old brother always wins.
Sure did. Well done. But if I could follow up with one more, it's safe to say that some people might have not have had the number one in the round of eight, but this was a team effort tonight. Your spotter did a great job. Pit crew did a great job. How much of a statement does this win feel like? A statement to say, watch out for the number one car. We're not going anywhere.
I'll be honest with you. We needed everything to go perfect in this round to advance to the round of eight. And you never want to count yourself out as a championship contender, but we knew we needed to work a little harder to keep pace with the 11, to keep pace with the four. There's the Penske guys that are strong. And, you know, I saw the four car tonight struggling, you know, and the 18 was running around me a lot tonight. You never know when your moment's going to come, and the yellow came out at a perfect opportunity for us. And so, yes, we're advanced through to the round of eight. I still think it's important to grab points at Talladega and the Roval. We just don't have any ill side effects that are going to pop up these next 2 weeks. So we still need to go out there and put points in our pocket.
Awesome. Thanks, Kirk. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Next up, we'll go to Tom Zalewski. Go ahead, Tom.
Hi, Kirk. What was your thinking in the car as the restarts were happening in those closing laps? Heart rate, having nightmares? Are you thinking confidence? What was your general mood as you were sitting in the car, Brett, getting yourself set up for the best chance to win the thing?
I go by this quote that I learned earlier this year, reading some books and listening to some speakers. And this guy, he said, "So what? Now what? It doesn't matter what pops up, if it goes against you or if it's with you. So what? Now what?" And that makes you clear your mind, makes me clear my mind anyway, and find a plan, find a procedure that's going to still keep us up front and protect that position.
Well done, bud.
Next up, we'll go to Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
Thank you. Kurt, even with the more opportunities to run at Vegas in the future, was there ever a point where you were worried that you might not win at your home track in your career?
I was worried about lap 200 today. I was like, oh, track got me again. it's so tough here, keeping up with the track's changing conditions, the speed through one and two versus the slick part of three and four. We had been notoriously loose all year at mile and a half tracks, and we were loose all night. The run just before this, I said, hey, we're finally on the tight side, go back. And then you just got to wheel it. You got to give it your best. And we found the right position to be in with the yellow flag. And then the restarts. But, I mean, it's Vegas. You got to put yourself in position for the dice to unfold in your favor or for the cards to flip out. I mean, that would be the equivalent of having all of your money in after you've been wasting money and burning up money all night at the blackjack table. And you go, you know what, one more hand, I'm all in. And then it just flipped over, an ace and a jack suited, and it felt perfect.
Also, Matt McCall, especially in these playoffs, has run you long during green flag cycles where others have kind of split up stages, and that certainly benefited you tonight. What is the challenge from a driver's point of view when you're running long, the tires are wearing, other people have fresher tires? What kind of demands does that put on you and the things that you're able to do that allows Matt to make these calls to put you in this position?
You know, that's the good news and the bad news. We have been really good on long runs this year at mile and a half. And when we were out front on old tires, we were cranking out some of the best laps that we had had all night. And it's, again, it's like we're on that alternate strategy. And I guess it's just got to be the law of averages. And it finally unfolded in our favor.
Thank you.
Next up, we'll go to Dustin Albino. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, Kurt, congrats on the win. When a driver runs 10th to 15th most of the night, how satisfying is it in your case to win those races?
Oh, this is huge. You know, we struggled early with being loose. We needed nightfall to happen sooner rather than later. And we just kept digging. We kept ourselves as close to the front as we could. You know, some pit stops were a struggle. I almost missed my pit box one time. And then that clean air at the end, being up front, being the guy that has to deliver for the team, that's when everything came together for us. And so no matter where you are in this game right now of NASCAR Cup Series racing, you've got to be there at the end to win it.
Thanks, Kurt.
All right, next up we'll go to Sterling. Go ahead, Sterling.
Thank you. First of all, Kurt, congratulations on the home track win tonight. Obviously, with the next two races coming up in this round, it'll be Talladega and the Charlotte Roval, races regarded as two really unpredictable elements of the round. Is there any pressure that has been relieved by winning here tonight going into the next two races of the round?
Yeah, the pressure's off. There's not going to be any consequences the next 2 weeks, but still we want to gain points. We want to put some points in our pocket from the stages and the finish at Talladega and the Roval, you know, just to build up towards the season end. And that's how we're going to make it to the championship four, is to still keep putting the pressure on, but we know we can slip up, or as Mark Martin said, you know, you can stub your toe every now and then, but you just got to learn from it. So right now we're in great position. I knew we could make the championship eight if everything went perfectly through this round. This just put the icing on the cake way before we could get the cake.
Thanks, Kurt. Congratulations once again.
Thank you.
Next up, we'll go to Dominic. Go ahead, Dominic.
Thank you. Two quick questions for you here, Kurt. First, just want to get your thoughts there. 32nd career win, tying fellow past champion Dale Jarrett on the all-time wins list, what that means to you.
I was just looking at Dale Jarrett on the TV. I was like, I had something in the back of my mind for him. What was it? And yes, it's a great feeling to be, you know, teamed up, tied up with a Hall of Famer. He's ahead. He's got more Daytona 500 wins, but we do have a championship together, and that's cool company. I've always looked up to Dale Jarrett with respect. The traditions that he has started in this sport have carried through. His father taught him how to drive, how to be a great broadcaster and commentator. And so to be alongside Dale Jarrett, this win in my hometown after two decades of not winning, I don't know if I have more gas in the tank now to win every race or if I'm done. I'm loving every single minute of this win and what it's done here in 2020, what it means here in 2020.
And when you look two decades from now and somebody brings up this race and you're talking about it, what are you going to remember most?
It's being in position, never giving up. And when the opportunity to win comes your way, you have to be that lion. And you have to grab that piece of meat and you can't let go. And you have to continue to protect it when others are coming up with all the other yellows and restarts and drafts and inside lane, outside lane. That's what I'm going to remember the most. And it's similar to my win at Kentucky last year against my little brother.
Thank you.
Next up, we'll go to Luis Torres. Go ahead, Luis.
Thanks, Ross. Hey. Kirk, congrats on the win. Two real quick questions. The first one is just describe how big of a deal you mentioned about the family. You brought up Brexton. Just tell us how great is it to see another Busch family member be involved in racing before I ask my follow-up.
It's a great feeling to see little Brexton already piecing it together and putting it in victory lane and having that excitement and that joy of winning. It takes a team effort. And for my dad to be there and my mom, this next generation, it's amazing. And watching Samantha, my sister-in-law, helping Brexton, and it reminds me of my mom when she was there doing everything she could for me. And I honestly had a feeling on the plane ride out here today with his win. It was like, you know, my job's almost done here. You know, starting to become that old guy. I got to find the rocking chair because Brexton's taking over. But not so fast. It's great to be back in victory lane.
Speaking of victory lane, it's been also a big week for next season to have Ross Chastain as your teammate. Just tell us how much of an asset he'll bring to that team going into the new season. Still got a racing left, but, you know, think ahead.
Yeah, he's a great addition. Ross Chastain will fit in right away. His style of driving and how he goes about his craft is very similar to how I came up through the ranks with working and working and working. He's had some tough situations stacked against him with different sponsors and different movement, but he's just continued to rise above that and to showcase himself as the next talent to Chip Ganassi. And Chip chose him. And so I see a lot of similarities. I think he'll fit in great. And I hope that we hit the ground running strong in Daytona next year.
Thank you. Congrats to the win and enjoy it.
Thank you.
Next up, we'll go to Marty. Go ahead, Marty.
Thanks, Ross. Kurt, congratulations on the win, man. Two quick questions for you. I joined it late, so I apologize if you've already been asked this. But first off, the post-race cool-down lap, what did it mean to be celebrating there with Kyle at your home track?
What a great feeling to have him give me the celebratory, mandatory door donut down the back straightaway. It was a flashback of legend car racing when we raced against each other as kids. And every time back when we were kids, because I'm 7 years older, I would beat him. So that was perfect. It took us right back to memory lane in 20 years. It was perfect right there on the back straightaway.
And being from Las Vegas, obviously, it was a bummer hearing the news last week that no fans would be allowed for this race. How much were you wishing those fans would be in attendance, just losing their minds seeing you win?
It was tragic. Everything I was hearing from different business members in the community, Governor Sisolak said that we were going to have fans. And it just did an about face and changed. I know that Chris Powell, here as the track president, was devastated. The casino industry, the entertainment industry, everybody from restaurants to a friend of mine that runs one of the major helicopter tours here, they're hurting. And this is a process that we all have to get through together. But when you have 80 to 100,000 seats available for social distancing and for everybody to be able to enjoy it and to do it properly, I'm not a politician, but hey, I wish we could have had the fans. I know they saw me in spirit. They were watching it on NBC Sports Network. And my heart is pierced right now from all of my great memories of fans, family, and just the cool people that helped me become a winner here in Las Vegas.
Thanks for your time, man. Congratulations once again.
Thank you.
Do we have any final questions for Kurt here? No? All right, Kurt, thank you for your time. Yeah, go ahead.
If we don't, I got to make a comment. Ron Kantowski with Las Vegas Review Journal, I don't know if he's on here. You can finally write a good article about me in Las Vegas. I'm going to be so proud of you tomorrow when I wake up and read the paper. Thank you, Ron.
All right, Kurt, thank you for your time and congrats again.
Thank you.
This is WFO Radio.
Subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes. Never miss a show. And don't forget to write a review. WFO.